This is Michael Gannot with Insight to Israel and Hershey's for Heroes. And Barry Dennison, I want from the American or the International Christian Embassy, I want to say thank you for being on the show.
My pleasure.
And I want to start off the show by saying thank you to the guys at America's Web Radio who bring the truth of the Jewish state to the grassroots of the United States.
Amen.
The truth about this little strip of land that is number one in technology, agriculture, and medicine.
Yes.
And what they do around the world. Barry, this is amazing. You know, you get a lot of head knowledge. But then you come here, wow, it's heart knowledge. Combine the
Absolutely.
Two. It can
yes.
make you, if you say you love Israel and have never been here, being here, that heart knowledge combined with that head knowledge will make you a very powerful advocate for this
Absolutely.
Country when you go back home.
Yes.
And when you, if you never thought yourself a great orator or someone that could stand in front of others or even talk one-on-one, you will have the desire and the passion and the principled drive to now speak the truth.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So I want to thank all the guys at America's Web Radio for bringing the truth of the Jewish state to the grassroots of the United States. Insight to Israel has been on the air for over 2 years now.
Congratulations.
Wow, a lot of work. Barry, a lot of work. And I'll tell you, it is an amazing blessing. We're in the top 20% out of 26,000 radio shows heard in the United States and Canada and Europe and Australia and here in the Jewish state. We're actually, Barry, this is a first-time experiment. You're my lab rat here.
Wonderful.
Because we are also, folks send me emails, Michael, video, show us where you are, which we're not in some place fantastic. We're in a recording studio
yes.
of the International Christian Embassy compound here in Jerusalem.
Here in Jerusalem.
It's too cold to sit outside in the coffee shop in Jerusalem. Today
it is.
But you, say hi. Barry, say hi.
Hello.
You're my lab rat, and this is the first time we're doing this. I'd like to do it more often, because I think it... Go ahead.
Well, in behalf of the International Christian Embassy Jerusalem, thanks to the web radio people, the message of Israel is an important part of what God's doing around the world today. And so we thank everybody taking a stand for the truth.
Absolutely, absolutely. And we also have Jerusalem Jane in the studio with us today. How are you, Jane?
Hi, shalom. Hi, I'm good.
And thanks for being here. Thanks for doing that, holding the camera, doing
My
that
pleasure.
Other video. One day I will be able to afford an assistant. It will be a godsend. So also, I want to thank real quick. I want to say thank you to everyone that is a participator and not a spectator.
Yes.
And sending Hershey's for Heroes.
Absolutely.
Hey, Barry, have you seen the Facebook page?
I've seen the Facebook page.
What'd you think?
Well, seeing the page and living here in Israel and seeing the gratitude of soldiers when, for example, here from the International Christian Embassy, we give the lone soldiers a Leatherman-type tool.
Yeah.
And their gratitude and the shock that Christians would do something good for a Jew. What these Hershey bars are doing, I understand the impact.
Send
more of them.
The notes?
Yes, yes.
You can't even, I'll tell you, I have pictures, Barry, these kids, they're not kids. They're not.
Warriors.
And, you know, folks, I'm out of chocolate bars right now. I've about 1,000 coming.
Should have 10,000.
Say it again?
Should have 10,000.
Oh, my goodness, we just ate from a buffet of truth in that one sentence. I need Americans. Folks, if you have not given... You know what's sad, Barry? I'm going to tell you what's sad. I got guys right now, and I'm going to... If you feel condemned, then go with the emotion. I got guys right now that I went to school with.
Mm-hmm.
I want to acknowledge Eric Branch, Pastor Eric Branch, who his church sent 1,000 chocolate bars last year. I'm about to hit him up for another 1,000. So, Eric, if you're listening, you and your wife, get ready. We even did a Skype video in front of the whole church
whole
and everything
church.
During the
Absolutely.
Last operation.
Amen. Yes.
But I got guys that see my Facebook page that I went to school with that are pastors of churches. And I see them taking trips. God bless them. But I see them taking trips to countries abroad, not even to do missions work. And I'm not condemning them. I'm just saying, I know, I see what you're doing. But I'm wondering, when you look at my page and you like things once in a while, you see Hershey's for Heroes. You're not even emailing me and asking me. I'm asking all the time. You're first, listen, if you are a Christian pastor, and especially if I went to school with you and you know about Hershey's for Heroes and you have not even inquired or sent me one chocolate bar with a note on it, you're wrong. I'm going to say it. You're wrong. Anyway.
Book of James.
Talk to me.
Knowing the truth and not doing it. Faith without works is dead.
Folks, you listen right now. We're gonna get on track here, but it's my radio show. I can say it when
do
I
what
want.
You want to.
Anyway, look, folks, we now have ISIS on the Jordanian-Israeli border. We've got Hezbollah and Iran forming a front on the Syrian-Lebanon border. I was up there in January. It was unbelievable. Those folks, they're tough up there. They're tough.
They've staked out their homestead, and they're going to defend it.
They said, this is the Jewish land. We're going to claim it, because if we don't, they will claim it for themselves.
Yes, yes.
And right now, the military is gearing up. It's one thing to be prepared. It's another to gear up for another, I don't want to use the word operation, but for a bigger conflict, just like last summer on the Gaza border. And J-Post just put out an article that said in Judea and Samaria, not the West Bank, and let me say, these are not settlements, these are new neighborhoods. The rest of the world likes to make it sound like that, so they can accusatory, or taking something that doesn't already belong to the Jews.
Yes.
But, folks, you need to get involved, because as the world becomes more and more hateful and diabolical and scheming and planning against the Jews, you better know the Christians are next. You're on their number. They got your number. So stop going out and spending $100. Can you imagine what folks spend in the States going out to eat in one night? They could send me a case of Hershey's for Heroes, one case.
Sure.
Anyway, folks, I love you. Please go to the Hershey's for Heroes Facebook page. See the results that it brings as those soldiers see the note on the chocolate bar. It's unbelievable. Unbelievable. All right. Great stuff, Barry.
Good stuff.
Exciting.
Israel's the most exciting place in the world.
Wow. I'll tell you what. I'll take the threat of death standing with the Jewish people any day.
Amen.
When you see what... Sir, you've been here a year.
Year this time, previously 7 years.
7 years. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. My mother sometimes, she'll listen to my show and say, Michael, you say wow too much. Say, Mother, when you come here to visit and you sit across from folks that have been here or born and raised here and have experienced and seen and you listen to their story, you can't help but say, wow.
Yeah.
Because you can't find the words in the English vernacular, because I'm American and that's pretty much all we speak. Barry, we're going to start off by asking where you're from originally.
Grew up in the Southwest, New Mexico and Texas.
Okay.
Born in New Mexico, but overseas I introduced myself from Texas, because if I say New Mexico, they get confused and say they thought I was an American. And all of us New Mexicans understand that phenomenon.
Yeah. So let me ask you, what did your parents do? Because what we'd like to do is I want to lay the foundation, because everything that has happened to you obviously in the past leads up to where you are in the present.
Yes.
And where you're headed in the future. You know, and that is always exciting stuff. Barry, what was your home life like growing up?
Grew up in a typically pagan American family. Church was something that we did maybe on Easter, maybe on Christmas.
Yeah.
Traveled all over the Southwest, moved 21 times before I turned 16.
Wow, what was your dad, in the military?
Just an aggressive businessman.
Aggressive businessman. Excuse me.
And in high school, we moved back to the hometown where I was born, Fort Sumner, New Mexico, known for Billy the Kid.
Wow.
And I did a quick look around. I'm coming from Houston, Texas, to this little podunk town, and looked around. All the pretty girls were in the Methodist church, so I'm going to the Methodist
church. John and Charles Wesley.
Not a believer yet. I'm the president of the youth group, not a believer yet.
Wow.
Pastor passes away, the youth group take over the Sunday services.
And you go because you want to get a girlfriend, you find out they're in the church.
Yeah. But I'm leading the services one Sunday. We have a guest speaker come in. Yeah. I still remember his name, Neil Talley.
Wow.
He was a seminary student. For the first time in my life, I heard the gospel. And I didn't want to respond because, you know, I'm sitting up in one of those big chairs, and he makes an invitation to surrender to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And theologically, I have a problem with what happened next. It's like I got kicked out of the chair and find myself kneeling down at the altar.
Wow.
But all 12 of the youth group came up and made the same decision that Sunday morning.
Wow. Wow.
So that's where my
follow the leader.
Started.
I'm picturing that? You fell out of your chair and then...
Basically, yeah.
Wow.
I mean, I didn't... You know, I look up after I'm there praying and there's the whole youth group kneeling at the, you know, the altar rail with me.
Wow.
Many of whom I'm still in contact with.
Wow. That's amazing. Amazing. So, like, what'd your parents think?
Oh, irritated my dad.
Oh, kid's a nut job.
His son's a sissy reading the Bible every night before he goes to bed.
Wow.
You know, made him angry. But he ended up coming to the Lord after I had transferred to Oral Roberts University, which I won't go into that whole story. That'd take 30 minutes of the show.
No, but, I understand.
He became a believer, and then for his last 20 years before he passed away, he was a pastor.
Wow.
Evangelical pastor, preaching the gospel, seeing people healed in a Methodist church and being persecuted by the bishop because you don't do those things nowadays in a Methodist church.
Right. And so much of the Christian church in the United States has fallen.
Yes.
Fallen away.
The Bible is no longer the guide.
I'll tell you, I'm shocked. I'm not, but I am, and I guess it kind of like, it breaks my heart.
As an American, it grieves us.
Because this is the foundation of what made us great.
Absolutely.
And folks, listen, you got to know, we owe the Jewish people. I'm going to tell you, I'm not, it's not that it took much convincing, but the more study, the more research I do into American history and taking the timeline of mankind.
Yes.
The indelible, undeniable fingerprint of the Jewish people has been left. You know what? I was actually telling some folks last night. I said, you take guys like Trotsky and some of these others that wrote about communism, Karl Marx. You know, these were Jews. Now, mankind and their humanistic secular mind says, look, those Jews started, this is what they started. And it was exciting because I said, you know, look, I don't agree with communism. Now, when they wrote the book, I need to be misunderstood. Listen, I got to take this break and talk about this.
Sure.
This is exciting because Americans need to know this. They had an idea that was simplistic and that had good motives behind it. But mankind, the Gentiles, went and took that ideology and look what they did with communism and socialism.
Yes.
These guys didn't have motives to try to oppress people and things like that. You can see the timeline, the fingerprint of the Jewish people, and sometimes you do, and sometimes you don't see the hand of God behind it.
Yes.
Because like any human being, we're not perfect. The Jews, unfortunately, get all the blame for when the imperfection shows up, but never the credit.
Well, as Christians, we tend to judge one another on our actions, but we want to be judged by our intentions. And Christians
Wow.
do that with the Jewish community. We judge them by the actions, but we judge ourselves differently because we judge our intentions as being good.
Wow, that was very well put. That could say it one more time for me.
We tend to judge other people by the actions, but we want to be judged by our intentions, whether we do the actions or not. And as the church, we judge the Jewish people by the actions we see, but we don't hold ourselves to the same standard. We judge ourselves by our good intentions.
Wow.
Even if we never do the good actions.
My. Barry, those folks chose the right guy. That's great stuff.
That's just the truth.
That's wow. Wow. All right, so here you are. Your whole family's obviously changed. So where do we go next? Where'd you go to university? You went to Oral Roberts.
I went to Oral Roberts University.
Why?
Well, I first went to Florida to study oceanography. But the Lord was working on my heart one semester.
And you grew up in a landlocked country.
Landlocked. Maybe that's why I went to the ocean. transferred to Oral Roberts University. 3 months later, my father comes to a seminar there, surrenders his life to Jesus. I finish my degree. I become the director of the missions outreach from the university, where we are sending students around the world to work with Christian communities in 200 students every summer. That's where I first traveled to Haiti, and as you have talked, went to Haiti 3 times, went to Brazil to work with a Dutch pastor down there.
Wow.
And that's where then, after I was married, our daughter's born, she's 5 months old, and my wife and I moved to the Amazon jungle to work with this Dutch pastor.
I packed up my kid and I moved to the Amazon.
Yeah.
That is great.
And I had great parents and in-laws because they didn't argue about that.
Taking you know what the difference between in-laws and outlaws is?
What's that?
Outlaws are wanted. But it sounds like your in-laws weren't outlaws.
That's right.
That's good. Wow. So, okay. So how did you end up in Israel? Because you said you were here for 7 years.
Well, 12 years we were in Brazil, working with churches, training pastors. And the Lord grabbed me from Romans chapter 11. Prior to that, Israel to me was just another nation. I even joked with a friend of mine who was here with a Christian organization that, you know, you hook a chain on Israel and it'd make a nice island at the mouth of the Amazon. And that was my lack of understanding.
Right.
But Romans chapter 11 starts out with a question. God has not rejected the Jews, has he?
Absolutely not.
And Paul responds, absolutely not. Well, if you think about that, that destroys by itself about 50% of everything the Christian church teaches about Israel and the Jewish people. Then you go a little bit later in there, and it says, be not arrogant towards the original branches, referring to the Jewish people.
Wow.
Because if you're arrogant towards them, God can break you off.
Wow.
And that destroys the other, you know, by now you've got 99% of what Christians say about Jews destroyed. Then you go over to chapter 15.
Now, I don't mean to interrupt you.
Yes.
Can we confirm, let's confirm together, because a lot of times people hear, you and I have both experienced this, but Americans need to know that when and especially Israeli-born Jews, and I think Jews in general, because we don't keep track of history very well.
We Christians do not.
But when the Jewish people hear about Christians, they first think Catholic Church.
Inquisition. Burning them at the stake.
And the Catholic Church.
Forced adoption.
The Roman Catholic Church from Rome worked with Adolf Hitler and Islam during World War II.
They did. And you have the Russian Orthodox Church promoting the pogroms.
Yeah.
You have the Greek Orthodox Church also persecuting the Jews.
Wow.
You have Protestant Lutheran Germany not standing up for the Jews.
Yeah.
You meet American immigrants, Jewish immigrants to Israel, who were beaten up by the Presbyterians and the Baptists and the Methodists as kids because they were the Jewish kid in the neighborhood.
I can't wrap my mind around it.
So, unfortunately, you speak to the Israeli community and or the greater Jewish community, and you say Christian, and they think persecution. Rightly so, because we have 1,700-year history of that.
Yeah, wow. No, I'm sorry, go ahead. I felt like that's important for a lot of Christians to understand.
Well, and that's the fruit of ignoring Romans chapter 11.
We're just grafted in.
We're grafted in. Ephesians says that because of the sacrifice of Jesus, you Gentiles have been brought near and made participants into the covenants that God has with Israel and the Jewish people.
That's why I don't call it the Old Testament. I call it the First Covenant.
You were not there to replace them, which is a significant Protestant and Catholic theology,
right,
that the church has replaced Israel. There's one parable that's twisted in its interpretation to come to that conclusion. Scripture does not say it.
Right.
Paul says, God has not rejected the Jews, has he? Be not arrogant towards the Jews.
Right. And they do feel, my experience has been, they do feel rejected.
They feel rejected, and rightly so. That has been the actions of the church.
Wow. So, okay, you felt this draw to come here.
Well, I got stuck in Romans chapter 11 for 2 or 3 years because it had to change my theology, my entire understanding of Israel.
Yeah.
Came and visited, moved here then in 1995 with my family after 12 years in Brazil. a heart-rending ripping out, because we were very much a part of the Brazilian Christian community. It was home. Prior to that move, we thought our kids would grow up and marry Brazilians and just become a part of the history of the church in Brazil. 1995, we moved here. Spent 7 years here.
Wow, and that's right before the second Lebanon War. First.
The second, yeah.
Second.
And we were here when Israel pulled out of Lebanon. We were here as soldiers are going in and out all the time.
Wow.
We were here through the second Intifada, the bus bombings. We lived in Gilo.
Which is up in Judea and Samaria, up in that area, right?
Well, it's a part of Jerusalem, but it's called a settlement because it was across the line of what Jordan controlled prior to 67.
Okay.
One day, we're getting in the car to go to school, and we're watching the bus. The end of the bus stop of line 32 was about 50 yards from our house, and all of our neighbors are getting in the bus, and we head to town. And because of traffic in the morning to get to the international school on Prophet Street in the center of town, took 30, 45 minutes. We're pulling into the school, and we hear the explosion.
Wow.
And you know, this was after sometimes multiple suicide bombings in buses per month.
Wow.
First thing you do is scan the clouds, and you see the smoke going up.
Right.
And you're listening for was it just did a gas tank blow up, or was it an attack of some kind? And you hear the sirens. And as the sirens kick up, no, this is not just some industrial accident.
Wow.
That bus, I forget the numbers now, but 30 or 40 of our neighbors died that day. Because that bus we watched load in front of our door was blown up by a suicide bomber halfway down into the center of town.
Can't even wrap my mind around that.
That was a tough season. That was a tough season.
Wow. Folks, I'm going to tell you what, Barry. Folks in the United States better tighten up. Christians and whatever, conservatives, however you label yourself, and you got some right thinking, some scruples, some morals, some principles about you, you better tighten up. I worked in politics for 12 years. It's been my whole life. The two things you never talk about in the United States is politics and religion. That's because everybody's got an opinion and nobody has a truth. They don't want to talk about it, because then you bring along someone with truth. And now they got to change their way of thinking,
right?
Which changes their whole life.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll tell you, someone said the other day on Fox News, they said, unless the Republican Party gets someone that's willing to take a stand for principles, and I'm talking homosexual marriage, abortion, the whole nine yards, right now in Washington, the Republican Party, they don't like to hear that stuff. At the grassroots level, it's different.
Yeah.
But they're like, they're what they call the
rhinos, Republican name only.
Right, but they're the establishment.
Yes.
And I made some enemies in the Republican Party when I was in D.C.
Mm-hmm.
Me saying all that is they made a very clear statement that said, unless there comes along someone that is willing to take a stand on all the issues, and not just focus on the financial. Folks, we can focus on the financial all we want. This is being videoed. You can focus on the financial. I've had Christians tell me that if we just get the right people in office, I'm going to make my point, get the right people in office and pass an economic bill, then this will change. The country will be turned around. I'm sorry. That's a lie.
Yes.
That is a lie. And we and Israel, God called Israel to nationwide repentance.
Yes.
In sackcloth and ashes. And unless Americans get it together, I'm not a pessimist, I'm a realist. We are not going to see nationwide repentance. It's not going to happen. You're going to see pockets of it, and those people will be blessed. God, and if they stand with Israel, you're talking about, that's going to be like a little nation.
Absolutely.
A little nation inside of a nation, because their principles, their ideology, their way of thinking is different than what the status quo is, whether it's in Washington. Right now, there was a black kid killed in cold blood by a police officer, Al Sharpton, and I don't want to get off the United States, but there's a reason why I'm saying what I'm saying. Al Sharpton said, we need a national police force because the state and locals can't handle what needs to be done. Folks, you better wake up. They think it can't happen in the United States. That there will be rioting first. Like, we're so principled and strong that we got the guts to really do what needs to be done.
Mm-hmm.
Folks, I'm going to tell you, these people live it every day. They fight for freedom every day. And if we haven't been willing to admit that we're not in the right place when it's really tough, we ain't got... Then I'm sorry, let me speak in plain English. I'm a college-educated man, but we ain't going to do it. It is not going to get done. So you better get your friends, your family. You folks, you got to know who's among you.
Yep.
Who's on your side. And you better form yourself a little union, a little club. Because they're going to take away tax-exempt status. If you won't marry a homosexual, they will... I don't normally get off on this stuff. Folks, these people have been fighting, and this country is not perfect. We know that. But I will tell you, there is still a remnant, a majority, even the seculars,
yes,
stand outside of the synagogue on Yom Kippur and listen to the prayers.
Yes.
When was the last time folks stood outside of your church?
Well, and during the Gaza War this last year, and this was an interesting change, having lived here in 7 years, through the Lebanon War, through the Second Intifada, and the bus bombings and the Israeli action.
Wow.
Then you would see calls to prayer, but it was just one rabbi's group or another rabbi's group. During this last Gaza operation, when they had a nationwide call of prayer, the entire nation, it felt like, showed up at the Western Wall and prayed. When in the Lebanon situation, you never saw them showing pictures of the soldiers with their prayer shawls, of the soldiers praying before they went into battle.
Yeah.
This time, during the Gaza operation, it was like the things have changed totally in the Israeli society.
Wow.
They were celebrating the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob and his faithfulness.
You know, it's funny how folks, you know, I say it, I just need a tissue.
The bathroom, in the court.
Thanks, Jane. Even the leftists back during the last operation in Tel Aviv,
mm-hmm,
folks want to get a hold of God.
Yeah.
In difficult times. When you got rockets coming down on you, and you know that you have a right wing. Now, that's not to say, come on, not everyone right wing is believes in God or whatever, but at least they're on a path, you know. Mm-hmm. They're crying out to the right wing in the army, protect us.
Absolutely.
You know? So, Barry, I can't imagine. Americans, they need to, you better get ready, folks. Let me warn the American church. You think you're getting out of here on some rapture? You really think so? When the persecuted Christians under communism, under the Romans,
yes,
and all throughout history, and you think for one second that it's going to get a little hard. That's always the perception I was brought up with.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's going to get a little hard, but look to the sky. I'm sorry, folks. It ain't going to be that easy. You better tighten up. Wow, Barry, this is good stuff. Go ahead.
Paul says, and may we be conformed into the fellowship of his suffering. Part of being a believer is being not just grafted in, not just saved and redeemed, but completing the suffering of Christ, being participant in his sufferings.
Not a spectator.
And so I tend to agree. If he's going to rapture out just the American church, God's going to have to humble himself and ask forgiveness from the Christians through the ages who have been martyred. He's going to have to repent about the Christians being slaughtered by ISIS now.
The seed of the church is the blood of the martyrs. That's all that needs to be said. Wow, Barry. Sorry, I didn't mean to...
That's okay.
Veer off. This is...
Amen.
Americans need to get ready.
Yes.
Because your next election is not going to change a thing. The sails have been set. It's been cast out to sea. And the ship, this is not, we're stuck in the grandma apple pie. It's the pride. We're not, because it keeps us, now the new American patriotism is tattoos and a... This is Michael Gannot with Insight to Israel. Every day the Israeli Defense Force finds itself on the front line of the war with the militant arm of Islam. Surrounded by enemies from within and without, they fight for the only Jewish state. Military service is mandatory, ladies serving 2 years and men serving 3 right out of high school. While young people in other democracies are busy traveling or attending university, Israeli men and women gear up for basic training. In a world of heads of state, politicians, ambassadors, diplomats, and a leftist media, many times our voice at the grassroots level is drowned out. So we started an ongoing project called Hershey's for Heroes. Patriot conservatives from all over the U.S. are sending Hershey's chocolate bars with a note of thanks for defending Israel. Won't you join us by sending a sweet message to the IDF? For information, please see my Facebook page at Michael Ganot. Thank you, God bless Patriot conservatives, and God bless Israel in her struggle for sovereignty and security.
This is AmericasWebRadio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
Of reminding that sometimes we get so, we let it go here to the back of the head, that this is no longer about a country. This is about a kingdom, and the United States does not matter. It doesn't matter. Get over yourself. I love America. I thank God for divine providence that allowed me to be born, raised in the United States where I have freedom, where my mother, I could have been born in Russia. I was born in 1970. I could have been born in Mother Russia.
Yes.
And been an atheist.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I thank God where I was born and raised.
Amen.
God bless my family. Anyway, so Barry, your wife, what you were here during. So what did your wife say when you said, honey, we're going to Israel?
When we were leaving Brazil, we all cried a lot because we were so in love with
the
Brazilian church. But reading through Scripture, praying about it, looking at, we had a conviction that that was the right thing to do. So we uprooted our family and came here and raised our kids here for 7 years.
Wow.
We left.
That's a good number, seven.
It was our complete season. And we left not for any desire to be out of Israel, but our oldest daughter had graduated from high school. And we felt like the Lord said, guess what? America's a seductive society. You need to be there to introduce your children to America and not let it introduce itself.
Wow.
Because they'd grown up overseas. And so from 2002 until now, we've been in the States, children raised, university degrees, the daughters are married, our son's working on his master's degree. He'll
nice.
Be here with me for a few weeks in a month or two.
Wow, nice.
And now it's time to come back.
Wow. And your wife just like, honey, whatever? Was it that easy? And
no,
I'm not trying to reveal your personal life.
It wasn't that easy, but my wife is a strong believer.
Right.
And the Lord comes first.
Right. Wow.
She knows that part of following Jesus is taking up the cross and denying yourself and obeying Him.
When you first came here, were you in the Christian Embassy then, the 7 years?
No, those 7 years I was with another Christian organization.
Okay. This is very important because Israelis have a hard time believing me. Mm-hmm. They have this view of the United States, understandably, folks, whenever most Israelis, when they go to the United States, they go to New York, Chicago, L.A., Miami. This is their perspective on the U.S. Enamored by the lights of the big city. Let me tell you, I hope there's New Yorkers listening, because you folks, I'm not that enthralled with New York City. It's a rat hole. Drugs, prostitution. I've seen homosexuals kissing right out on the street. I wouldn't let them walk my dog, most of them. But
Brazilians were the same way. They wanted a vacation. It was New York and Miami. And I said, that's not America. New York's the capital of the world.
Go to West Virginia. Go to West Virginia.
Yeah. Miami's the capital of Latin America. You want to go know America, go into the interior.
And look, you understand this because you've been here much longer than I do. I'm going to tell you, it breaks my heart for these folks. They want to get out. I had a buddy of mine who was a lone soldier. Saved lives in the Gaza. In fact, there was an incident where a rocket had hit a Humvee, killed four soldiers. They burned up.
Mm-hmm.
Because of Judaism, the religious guys wouldn't pull their bodies out. My buddy had to pull their bodies out.
Mm-hmm.
He was adopted. He's not Jewish. Adopted by Jewish parents,
mm-hmm.
and joined the IDF. Didn't even have to. He was a lonely soldier, and this affected this guy. Mm-hmm. A lot of these kids, and I don't know what else to say. They're not children. They're not kids. They're adults.
War is trauma.
And, you know, some of these guys, when I talk to them, they're like, Michael, this is my country. I love it. I was born and raised here. But sometimes I just want to get out. I want to get out and see. Folks, you can't comprehend. This is not normal compared to what we've experienced.
Yes.
What was it like? But at the same time, children are safer here
Yes.
What was it like raising your kids? Because when I tell Israelis, my small town, even in West Virginia, the drugs are so bad, my mother's got to keep a handgun on her. No, that's serious. She's a widow twice, and she's got to be, the neighbors look out for each other because of the drugs.
Jerusalem and Denver are approximately the same size municipal areas. Jerusalem has how many violent deaths a year? A few, a handful. Denver, they're counted in the hundreds. Similar populations. Our children, when we lived here, before the bus bombing started, I was fine. If they were meeting kids at school and they were going to be at Ben Yehuda and take the bus home at 10, 11 o'clock at night, they were safe. It was a safe society.
Beautiful. It's so beautiful.
Once the bus bombing stopped, it was like, no, if you're doing that, you're going to take a taxi.
Understandable.
And or I'm going to pick you up.
Right.
You know. But that was because of the targeting of that means of transport. In terms of the other kinds of violence that you have in most American cities, Jerusalem's safe.
And even Tel Aviv.
Tel Aviv.
Now, look, just for the listener's sake, Tel Aviv's a little bit of a different area. There's a lot of illegals there. In fact, over 60% of the crimes committed in Israel are committed by Muslims, unfortunately. I mean, look, it is what it is. And by illegal aliens. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you, I've had stuff stolen from me. Part of it's been by because of my carelessness. I have to admit it. But I've literally left a phone sitting on a park bench at a bus stop, not at a park stop, a bus stop, and someone picked that phone up, lived 20 minutes away, and was calling numbers in the phone. Thank God it didn't have a lock on it. And returned my phone to me 12 hours later. Mm. Like, who does that? So even in the town that I live in the town of Givatayim, for all the Muslims who are listening and watching and you want to know where I live, I'm going to pay for the taxi ride. It's amazing. I'm telling you, I love to see the children there because they sit around after school and they go to Kaufik's and they buy a 5-shekel ice cream. Mm-hmm. And these are grade school kids, folks, sitting around. It's so beautiful to hear them talk and laugh. And it's, I can't even, like, there is something so unique and rare in this country that no other country, I promise you, no other country, of course, this is God's land.
Well, and you're talking about the fulfillment of biblical prophecy. The prophets talk about the day in which the young and the old, the children will dance and rejoice, and the old will rejoice, and they'll be giving and taking in marriage once again. Prophecies talk about the day in which Jerusalem would be a city without walls. That's today.
Wow.
You know, every time I walk up on a hill and overlook Jerusalem in the evenings and I see the city rolling out, you know, thousands of acres bigger than the old city, the walled city.
Yeah.
It's like these are the days that the prophets spoke about.
Wow. Barry, what was it like when you first came to Israel, got off of Ben Gurion, what was that like for you?
It was like coming home.
I agree.
It was like coming home, even though I'd never been here except for a short visit previously.
I agree. I felt that when I got off the plane. Never been here before.
Yeah.
And I was like, I fell right into it. Now, I think a lot of that came from life experience and things, but still, at the end of the day, all of the world is God's creation.
The Spirit of God's doing something here.
Absolutely.
And all the nation will come up to Israel to worship the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
We live in exciting times. Hey, folks, you know what? I don't like war. I don't like death, and I haven't been through anything yet. As an American being here during this operation and then seeing the rockets for the first time in January or in 2012, mm-hmm. I haven't seen, unfortunately. I want you to understand my perspective. Unfortunately, we are going to see a lot more.
Unfortunately, probably so.
That's inevitable. At the same time, whatever it takes.
Amos chapter 9 says, once Israel's restored, never again will they leave this land. Never again.
That's exciting. So now you're here at the International Christian Embassy,
Jerusalem.
Tell us, you're the general manager.
Yes.
It looks like you're in charge of the lot here. This is a big compound.
The plant, the employees, everything operational.
That's a lot of stuff. So I want you to start off by telling listeners How in the world? Wow, that's an amazing name, International Christian Embassy. Tell us a little bit of how it got started.
Well, the Christian Embassy was started in 1980. 1980 was a key year in history for several things. It was the year that the Israeli parliament passed the law, basic law, making Jerusalem the capital of Israel.
Ronald Reagan came into office.
It was also the year that, in response to Israel declaring Jerusalem to be its capital, the Arab League of Nations declared an oil boycott against any nation that kept an embassy in Jerusalem.
And let's clarify, Arab, it means Muslim.
Mm-hmm. And the result of that was any embassies that were here packed up and moved down to the coastal region between Tel Aviv and Herzliya. For 2 years, and this was just a spontaneous moving of God's Spirit, because 79 and 80, this is before internet, before Facebook, before Twitter, before, you know, you want to make an international phone call, you're talking $5 a minute.
Wow.
Christians began to come to Jerusalem in fulfillment of the prophecy of Zechariah chapter 14, that all of the nations, the Gentiles of all the nations, would come up to Jerusalem during Sukkot, or tabernacles, to worship the Lord. 79, there was a first gathering, several hundred. 1980, there was over 1,000 believers. Word of mouth.
Wow.
After that event, that first Feast of Tabernacles, some of the leaders of that said, you know what? The embassies are leaving. That's wrong. We will start the International Christian Embassy Jerusalem, because as Christians, we believe Jerusalem is the capital of Israel. And as Christians, we believe biblically it's the eternal capital of the Jewish people.
Wow. That's powerful. That's powerful.
Simple but true.
You know, I can't put any other words. I think that in the moment I described, it was when we were doing the video down in the front. And if you haven't seen it, you should go to Facebook, Insight to Israel, and look for the video out in the front of your compound, which used to be the Embassy of the Ivory Coast.
Correct.
But, Barry, I can't imagine. It breaks my heart for these people that time and again they get for nothing. Get slapped down. What an insult.
Yes.
The same countries that probably
voted for them in
48 are now
moving their embassy.
Cowards.
To the coast.
Yeah. Cowards to Islam.
Blackmail. They needed the oil to survive.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. I guess I've never looked at it so critically until the last year.
Mm-hmm.
And I started to see more things, and I think to myself, another, like, that's not a slap in the face. That's much more.
Yeah.
That's much more.
Well, there's no other nation in the world that any nation will say, this cannot be your capital. There's no other nation in the world where embassies are anywhere except for the capital of that nation.
And yet, once again, we even the free country of the United States,
in spite of laws being passed by multiple Congresses and Senates, it remains in Tel Aviv.
Wow. Unbelievable. So, tell us a little bit about, like, because, look, I'm for those who are watching the video, tell us about the Feast of Tabernacles. This is your 2014 campaign. Unless
that's
you want
the
to
feast
start
book.
Some.
This is just an example of some of the celebration. For 35 years now, this will be our 35th year, the
okay.
Christian Embassy in Jerusalem has been hosting the Feast of Tabernacles celebration, where thousands of Christians come around the world.
And Feast of Tabernacles is in the fall.
It's in the fall. Biblically, it's the Feast of Sukkot, translates tabernacles. This year, 2015, we will start on Sunday night, September the 27th, with our desert celebration down by the Dead Sea in Ein Gedi.
Wow.
Then we move to the Pais Arena, which is an 11,000-seat basketball stadium here in Jerusalem, where we will be for the next 4 nights, 3 days running. Last year, we had over 6,000 Christians from around the world who came for some or all of the event. This year, we're expecting more because it's the second year we're in an arena with more room.
Wow. Wow. How many did you have last year?
6,000.
And you're expecting about 11?
Well, we're expecting more. We don't know how many are going to register.
Folks, if you have not been to the Jewish state before the tide changes, you need to take out a bank loan. I don't believe in debt. But I'm going to tell you, that this is an investment. And when things are getting bad in the United States, come here to the Feast of Tabernacles event. In fact, there's also an event coming up that we're friends with a mutual friend, David. I never say David's last name right. He's been on the radio show. He's at Oral Roberts right now. The first Jewish rabbi that was accepted at Oral Roberts.
David Nekrutman.
Yeah, David Nekrutman. He's got an event coming up.
Yes.
On Independence Day.
Coming up, and it's a day of reading the Psalms to celebrate the God of Israel. Also effectively a call of repentance, but the specific Psalms, many of them are the Psalms of going up.
Very important.
The songs of ascent that the Jews would recite when they would come up to Jerusalem to worship the Lord.
Wow, that's great stuff. We're going to help promote that with David. But, folks, you need to come to Israel. You need to come to this. This is amazing.
Well, and for those in America, go on, do a web search for the Feast of Tabernacles.
We're going to post Jerusalem. This with the video. We'll post all
Inspiration
this.
Tours is putting together packages, and your pastor can come, and you can have a 5-day tour before the event, 5 days after the event. There's multiple different packages and ways to make it happen.
And I say, before you lose your tax-exempt status with your church, go through your church, have all the money donated through your church, get the tax write-off. Get the tax write-off. Take out that bank loan, pay it off, take the benefit of the tax write-off, and get it to the end of the year. Wow, I'm not even a financial guy, but this makes sense.
It's one of the advantages currently available.
And bring you folks, you need to come here. You need to come here, associate with groups like this, the International Christian Embassy. Find their information. I'm going to post with the video. You can find it with the radio show. It's very important that Americans get involved.
It's a prophetic event that God said would happen. Now it's your choice to participate or not.
It's not like choices, sir. And if you don't come to Israel and spend your money, listen, you're having a... I have a hard time with a lot of stuff that goes on in Christian television and stuff. We talked about that off
right,
the air.
Right.
But you want to be blessed. You want your life to be blessed. And you come here to this country, do whatever it takes. I did. I came here with $600 in my pocket. And I'm sure there's folks that have a better story than I do. I wasn't even looking for a good story. I just wanted to get here because I knew this is where I was supposed to be. But, folks, if I'm talking to even our Jewish listeners, if you've never been to this country, shame, shame, shame on you. This is your homeland, and these are your people, and you should be even a louder voice than this guy and I.
Absolutely.
So, with that being said, if you want your life to be blessed, come to this country. Spend your money here. Spend your money. Stop going to all these crazy restaurants. Go ahead. This is great. I was going to actually go ahead.
Well, because of the current efforts to boycott Israeli products around the world, based upon the lies of the Israeli persecution of the Palestinians,
right.
The International Christian Embassy Jerusalem published last year our Israel Buyer's Guide.
Great.
And here in a week, I'm meeting with the Israeli Manufacturers Association to work on publishing our 2015 Israeli Buyer's Guide.
I want a copy.
It shows you all of the products that, part of it's products that are changing the life of the world, around the world. And I open the page here and rewalk. Imagine a paraplegic who could never walk, and there's Israeli technology that becomes an exoskeleton, and for the first time in 10, 15, 20 years, he's able to stand up and look his wife in the eyes. Rewalk has been adopted by our Veterans Administration to help our soldiers.
I saw it on Fox News.
That's an Israeli invention.
Thank God for the Jews.
Thank God for them changing, for the better, the life of all of us around the world.
Wow, there is a lot of ways.
Ways.
Get taxi. Mobileye, which is amazing. A lot of people don't know about Mobileye.
Yeah. Billgard. Every American should subscribe to Billgard.
B-I-L-L. If you're watching the video, Billgard. Go ahead.
Well, it's using some amazing artificial intelligence algorithms to analyze all of your credit card bills and red flag those types of scams, those repeating charges that you didn't want, those $5, $4.99 charges that they sneak in.
Yeah.
And half of you say, well, it's just $4.99. I'm going to ignore it. Billgard will find out when someone else reports a charge is being scammed on their bill, they'll flag it on you so you can double check. Is this a legitimate charge or is this not?
Wow, that's great. Oh, and this Shop Eddie, this is amazing. I think it's good stuff to talk about.
Sure.
Shop Eddie, I met the woman that invented this. I was actually in a commercial here in Israel And I wasn't behind the scenes, guys, up on the front. I talked to this woman in Venice. I was like, wow. You know, I get excited because when I talk to these folks that create these things, I always tell them, I want to say thank you to the Jewish people for so much. They're shocked when they hear someone actually say Jewish. Wow, you're thanking me? Wow, you're thanking me specifically because I'm Jewish? Of course.
Yes.
So Shop Eddie connects all of these department stores with, also with GPS. You type in what you're looking for, a specific dress or whatever, or sale, or, and they'll connect you with all these places, find you the best deal, and then give you the shortest route to each one and even connect them all together.
Yes.
Amazing.
Amazing technology.
Amazing. Wow, great stuff here. Wow, you guys are really, God bless you, the service you're doing for the Jewish people.
Amen.
This is amazing.
It's a privilege to do it.
So, okay, so you're general manager. Your kids are all grown up. Your wife's coming here soon. You've been here a year now.
Been here a year. She and I have been back and forth.
But. Okay. And so let me ask you, what is... You knew about the Christian Embassy before you went to...
Been friends with the leadership from when I was here before, yes.
How did it feel for you, knowing the great impact they have here? I mean, I'm looking at this stuff in front of me. What you guys use, and this is great, folks. You got to check it out. What is it? How does it feel for you when you first got on board? Like, were you like a little kid and you were excited? Like, I got a job at the Christian Embassy.
Yeah, coming to work with the International Christian Embassy. It is the premier Christian presence in the land of Israel.
Yeah.
The Christian Embassy is here to connect the global church with Israel.
Wow.
And we've been doing it since 1980. And last year, we just got these numbers together last week, so I'm excited about it. In 2014, we connected over 22 million Christians around the world. Now, that number is so large because we have our worldwide TV show, Word from Jerusalem.
Right.
And that impacted in practical ways through our aid projects 11,000 individuals who live here in the land. And those individuals are Jews, Bedouin, Druze, Arab Christians, the needy, the minorities, Holocaust survivors. Our Haifa home for Holocaust survivors has, I have to say, about 70 residents, because I know in the last few months a couple have died, and I'm not sure the specific number.
Right. We're going to get up to Haifa because we want to go and
We're
visit those
up
folks
there.
Up,
yeah.
up in the Holocaust survivors. Go ahead.
And so, yeah, it's a privilege to be a part of maintaining this Christian presence in the land of Israel and
right.
connecting Christians around the world with what God is doing here in the land and helping the church. I joke with the Israeli friends that we're from a Protestant Christian stream.
Right.
And they're, well, what's that mean? Well, Protestantism, we protested the idolatry of the Catholic Church.
Right.
Now, we Protestants know that Luther actually had 95 items of protest, of which that was just one. And I say, we're just being faithful to our tradition. We're now protesting 1,700 years of Christian anti-Semitism, because that's just as anti-biblical as idolatry is.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, I tell you, it's amazing, because I had a young man from North Carolina. He actually sent me an email and said, Michael, I'd never heard anything about Israel until I saw Insight to Israel, and I heard my pastor talk about it, but I didn't really have a full concept of what supporting Israel meant. And actually, he found out about. I'm plugging up here, folks. So if you're watching the video, so bear with me. A lot of churches are not teaching the truth about Israel. And how do you, like, what are your biggest challenges working here, dealing with the American church, you know, and then dealing with the government here? What would you say your biggest obstacle might be, and your greatest joy?
Greatest joy is interacting with an Israeli. And I'll tell a story. I'm in a bank meeting with the vice president of commercial accounts. We're looking at expand our banking. Professional lawyer, she's in her mid-50s, you know, an office that's 50 feet wide, and a desk that looks like an old 1950s Cadillac. She has her translator there. We come in, and very cordially, she, through her translator, says, well, tell us what you're doing before we talk about your banking needs.
Wow.
And so I go into this little 3-minute spiel about, you know, helping Protestants and Christians repent of anti-Semitism, and, you know, because we're spiritual debtors, we're supposed to do tangible things to bless the Jewish people.
Absolutely.
And talk about some of tears begin to run down her face.
Wow.
She gets up and excuses herself. After she comes back in, she then makes a point to use her broken English because she wanted me to hear her words, not through a translator. And she says, "I'm sorry, that was very unprofessional for me, but never before have I heard of one Christian doing anything good for a Jew." In that moment, I was both proud and ashamed. Ashamed of our legacy of 1,700 years of anti-Semitism, and proud to live in a day and age and when the Lord is calling his church back to be the church, to show love rather than condemnation to Israel and the Jewish people.
It's sad.
But it's good because we're in a day that has changed.
It is. I can't wrap my mind around being a Jew and knowing when I'm with these soldiers, Barry, all I hear is thank you. We didn't know. We did not know that so many people stand behind us. The world hates us. Folks, you can't even wrap your mind around an 18-year-old looking at you and saying, the world hates me.
Yes.
Not because I'm better looking or smarter. I get these secular Jews down in Tel Aviv. Michael, why does the world hate us? Well, it's not because you're better looking, and it ain't because you're smarter, even though you are. I will say, let me say this. You will never hear this out of the mouth of someone here in this country that's Jewish. I will say, as someone who's not Jewish, they are the smartest people in the world.
Hey, look at the new patents, the new technologies, the number of IPOs coming out of Israel. Israel's breaking all records for new inventions, changing for the better the way humans can live and interact.
You know what I love? I apologize. I went from a very emotional moment. I'm serious. Let me say it one more time. In case you're suffering from low self-esteem and you're Jewish, take it from the goy. You are the smartest in the world. But you're not persecuted because of that.
No.
You are persecuted because man, in his finite thinking, whether it's back here or up here, thinks that if he does away with God's chosen, then he will do away with an infinite God.
Yes.
Well, let me put all the Muslims and the leftists on notice. Let me put guys like David Cameron who want Muslims to run for parliament. You are absolutely incorrect, Mr. Barack Hussein Obama.
Amen.
Wow. Anyway, wow. Great stuff. And I'll tell you, America, you need to be a part of Hershey's for Heroes. You need to be joining up with Jerusalem Jane and Tom Trento, and we got to work together. This is not about if I got more donors or if I got more publicity or what. Folks, we're in the last days, and the world will burn.
Yeah.
It will burn. But this country,
it's the only country that's in the book all the way to the end.
All the way. I'll tell you what, sir. I'm just about to run up and down the street. Because I'm feeling it. Anyway, Barry, we have 1 minute. Wow, we I apologize. This was good stuff. Did I talk too much? Sometimes people, Iris Burrell, my executive administrator, she listens. Michael, you got to let them talk a little bit.
Well, in the final seconds, I would say pray for Israel. The Psalm 102 said, blessed will be those who pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Second thing, ask God if he wants you to come up to the Feast of Tabernacles in fulfillment of Zechariah 14 this year or next year. Don't do it for me. Do it if the Lord tells you to.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Wow. Barry, I want to say thank you for being on the show.
My pleasure, Michael.
Wow, we're going to have you on again, and we're going to be involved with some stuff that you're doing and help promote it and pump and prime it. And bring some truth to America. This is Michael Gano, Jerusalem Jane. Thank you. This is Michael Gano with Insight to Israel and Hershey's for Heroes. God bless the patriot conservatives who stand for the Judeo-Christian founded Constitution and Bill of Rights. And God bless Israel in her fight for sovereignty and security.
Amen.
This is America's Webradio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.